Hi folks, welcome back to ContraCast. I cannot believe it's been as long as it has. Basically almost, more than a year since the last show. This is just going to be a little short episode. It's just me today, Paul Kwiatkowski, because the other hosts are off doing other things right now. College just started up again, and I have the good or bad fortune of being the only one who's not in college, because I graduated. Anyway, so we got a few things to talk about now. Initially, let me just say that the show will be coming back in a big way. I've already got a couple interviews lined up, so that's a good thing. Additionally, we're going to get John and Mike back, and then other hosts as well. Looking to really branch out on what we talked about in the show. It tended to be last time mainly internet, tech, and media. And so, who knows, maybe we'll mention some other things this time around. You know, things like John got a motorcycle, and that's definitely a hot button topic right now for us. So, also my website's coming back, and that's a good thing. You know, I could talk later about why it was gone for so long, but that's another story and another show. So in the meantime, let's talk right away about HP's touchpad and some rumors and some funny things I think about that. So in case you didn't know, in case you've been living under a rock, just to catch you up, HP, who made their touchpad, which was an iPad and Android tablet competitor, announced 2 weeks ago or 1.5 weeks ago or so that they were going to cancel all, they're immediately shutting down basically the tablet division. The phone division, which is smart because their phones were garbage, and basically, like a day after that, they announced that they were going to subsidize the cost and basically liquidate the rest of the tablets, selling the originally $499, then reduced to $399 16 gig for $99, and the 32 gig $599, then down to $499 for $149. Now, this is kind of funny, because a tablet that had barely sold all of a sudden became the top-selling tech device on Amazon, and it was extremely sought after everywhere. At work, people still come in all the time asking for those tablets, even though we've really been out for several days now, and it's several days after the initial rush. There's a couple of funny things about this. So number one, there's a huge misunderstanding, it seems like. People online, or people in the store, and just in general, everyone seems to think that it's cake to put Android on this tablet, and I don't think they've done any research. From what I've seen about the tablet, it's not cake to put Android on. In fact, it's very difficult to put Android on the tablet. The closest I've seen is like a Android 2.2 running on it, and I've seen one on eBay and then one mentioned on GDGT online, because it seems, I mean, we get people coming in that are like, you know, moms and 40 somethings, 50 somethings, say, well I heard it's really easy to put Android on, and I don't know where they got that from. I think that someone once said, yeah, it's cake to put Android on this. And everyone thinks that they can go find like a website and just press a couple buttons and move from Android or from WebOS to Android 3.0 or something, which is funny because it's just wrong. I have to wonder if that particular rumor maybe sparked more sales than would have been if people knew that it was just going to be WebOS for a long time. In particular, it's funny because people that have really obviously never done any kind of device hacking or coming in and saying that kind of thing. And to put things in perspective, it's not ever that easy. Back in 2006 or so, it took me roughly 3 days to hack into my Razer phone, and that was for the sole purpose of basically unlocking it from Verizon's system. So it was still on Verizon, although I could recognize it on the computer. And that took like 5 programs and lots of downloading and loads of research. It was not an easy thing to do, and in the end, it really wasn't worth it. I just had custom backgrounds, and I could put music on there easily. And so that was one thing. one thing that took days to do, and that was barely doing anything to it. Did the same thing with my Zune MP3 player back in 2008, I guess. And that took another, really, about a day to break into to allow custom games. And that was not even supposed to be a difficult thing. It was just the same kind of issue. You have to run several programs, download several things, follow directions very carefully, you know, and then you end up with Microsoft C Sharp, I think, or an XNA running, just so that you can load some custom games on it. And neither of these things were making significant changes to the operating system on the device. In fact, the Verizon Razer one was just simply to unlock it, and the Zune device was really just to add the functionality to play games, which was a Microsoft-enabled thing in the first place. And so this all just goes to kind of compound the issue. It's just kind of funny to me that everyone seems to think that it's going to be cake to put Android on this. You know, and in the meantime, I mean, there is a network, TouchDroid, that is working very, very hard and very diligently on putting Android on the touchpad. But I think it'll be at least a month or two before you see an easy... ish solution, and by that I mean something like Zune, where it takes like a day to do, and then I think it's going to be 6 months to a year before you get everyone who bought these that wanted to put Android to have it on there, if it all becomes easy. You know, although I can see some local computer shops maybe capitalizing on this and figuring out how to do it themselves, and then charging something like $100 to put it on people's tablets. That actually would not be a bad venture because people paid so little for them. But anyway, that's that. In another story, though, I have a Samsung Galaxy Tab 10.1 that I've been carrying around for a couple weeks now, and I'm super pleased with that. It does have Android on it, unlike the HP touchpad. So that's already a start out of the gate. And it's funny, comparing it initially... all Android tablets seem to pale in comparison to the iPad. The entire reason being is just that everything, you know, if there's an app released, it's going to be for iPad. If there is, you know, some kind of buzz, it's usually around the iPad. Using the Galaxy Tab, though, I can't quite see exactly why, other than it's just popular, that Android is not getting the praise that iPad gets. Because I've been really nothing but happy with it. The only downside is that there are not as many applications for Android 3.1, and that's too bad. I really think once the tablet OS for Android takes off, and I'm not saying it hasn't now, it just needs to really gain some popularity. We'll get some fantastic apps for it, and I think a year from now, the tablet space is going to be very different. We're going to have a few... front runners for Android. We'll have the iPad 3, you know, and then maybe, well, I can't see a Microsoft powered device taking any kind of market gain by then, but in the meantime, you know, Android, I almost wish people would be a little more proactive with the tablets, and maybe I wish they'd drop the price, because I'll be honest, if the iPad was $499, $599, $699, and your Android tablets were you know, $299, $399, $499, and you could go and pick up something like a Galaxy Tab for $400 or $350, it would be a very much more attractive device. It's difficult to compare them side by side when people are saying, well, I want to play Netflix out of the box. And I could say, well, you can download Netflix online, you just download a .apk file that doesn't recognize the tablet device, and that works. Well, people want to go to the marketplace and they want to press Netflix and they want to download it, you know. So that's a problem for Android right now. And I can understand where they just aren't, you know, I mean, obviously in the mobile, very much mobile space, your phones, there's a huge push to develop for Android because it is the largest operating system. I think it's going to be a little while, though, before they start to solve some of the fragmentation problems of Android. You know, I almost wish that Google going forward would say, well, with Android 2.4 or 2.5 for mobile, you have to have like a gigahertz processor, a dual core processor, you know, and at least a gig of RAM, that sort of thing, because you're getting phones and stuff that just really don't have the power to run these things, to run Android very well, and that's where you run into issues with compatibility. And someone releases a game, and the problem with it is that it doesn't run on 90% of Android devices. And so that's a problem with the incentive to develop for that, because on the iPod or iPad interface, you know, if you develop a good iPad application, it's going to work on all iPads. If you develop a Android tablet application, you have to make sure it runs on all of them. So that's a problem. I have been very happy with the Galaxy Tab, though. It has a built-in GPS that I just found yesterday, which is awesome, considering the Wi-Fi model. And that's just a nifty little feature that it's got. The ability to multitask and truly multitask is really cool. And the fact that it has widgets, I mean, it's better at surfing the web, I feel, than most, you know, similar devices. And I would put it up there as good or better than the iPad. I think the iPad maybe, you know, the iPad kind of tricks people because it's so smooth, along with all the other Apple devices, at its scrolling and zooming and everything. Meanwhile, Android devices seem a little more clunky. However, the Galaxy Tab is very fast online, it's very smooth, and additionally, it can play Flash, which doesn't seem like something you'd notice all that much. I mean, really, Apple pitches it as like, well, you're not even going to notice it's missing. And the truth is that you will. I mean, with the fact that I can browse Facebook on the device and scroll down and see a video, and rather than have to go to a YouTube application or something, or just not be able to watch it at all, I can just press play and it works, and that's cool. Additionally, I mean, you know, looking up videos, so like the other day, I showed my brother John the new Battlefield 3 trailer, Caspian Border, on the iPad. I would have had to hunt around in YouTube and maybe find an HTML5 version. On the Galaxy Tab, I just typed in the search into Google, brought up EA's website, and just clicked play. It was a big Flash video. So that's all very cool. You know, I think only time will tell. I mean, we've had Android devices the tablet devices since February, with the Zoom, the XOOM from Motorola. I think, you know, we'll see we can get a feel for what's going to happen with it by time Christmas rolls around. October, November, December, you should start to see some more competitors pop up. Right now, you got basically everyone's back to school lineup is out, and everyone's first to market device. I think when you start seeing things like the Galaxy Tab 2, the Zoom 2, that sort of device, when those start to come out, we'll get a feel for whether or not Android 3 as a whole is going to stick around for a long time or is going to be kind of a fad. Obviously, it isn't going to be like webOS, you know, because you've already got a multiplicity of gadgets that have it on them. And of course, I don't think anyone's going to buy webOS. I feel almost bad for HP. They purchased Palm primarily for their, well, people thought they bought them for their patents. And then they turn around and release gadgets trying to capitalize on this stuff, but it's almost like no one quite understands. No one really listens to analysts because the Pre did not do very well. It was reviewed well, but so was the Zune HD. You know, and some people within HP. I mean, there was one famous guy, and I can't remember who it was, but he said that you know, they expect that the touchpad will have overtaken the iPad by Christmas. And that's just a kind of crazy notion. You know, you don't release a tablet with 300 applications that runs the 6,000 or so Palm Pre and other webOS phone applications in a little tiny window on the device. No rear-facing camera, a front-facing camera that doesn't work except for Skype. Skype that doesn't work well, a clunky interface, even if it was reviewed well, a clunky device in general, and expect it to overtake a sleek, refined device like an iPad. You know, but I guess HP got caught up in their own PR talk. So, anyway, moving on to the final topic of this little short show, I'm going to talk about the Battlefield 3 trailer and some things for that game that's coming out in October 25, 2011. You know, I guess back when we were doing ContraCast, we talked about Call of Duty quite a bit, Modern Warfare 2 when it came out. And since then, you know, there's been another Call of Duty, and Modern Warfare 2 has significantly soured for me and for the other guys since we started playing Battlefield Bad Company 2. and that game is very much like a more smaller but faster-paced version of Battlefield 2, with destruction on everything. And it looks like Battlefield 3 is going to take that type of gameplay and then expand it back up to Battlefield 3. Or expand it back out to Battlefield 2 type of sizes, and it's going to be awesome. Basically, the new trailer shows off jet combat, helicopters, tanks, and vehicles, all sorts of other crazy stuff. The only one thing they haven't really shown in all the trailers is full destruction yet. So they've told us we can blow up 8-story buildings, knock them down. I believe them, but I'd like to see it happen. I know in Bad Company 2, you can take down 4-story buildings. That's as high as they build them. And that's all a lot of fun, especially when, you know, like you have an objective and it's just to take down that building, or there's a lot of enemies in the attic trying to shoot at your team and you can blow it up. but the new trailer is called Caspian Border. It features 64-player gameplay on the PC, and that's exciting considering Battlefield Bad Company 2 is only 32-player, and 64-player is some of the most fun I had in Battlefield 2, aside from the crazy 128-player matches that were kind of hacked. Basically, though, it looks like a great amount of fun coming up soon, and its main competitor is going to be Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, and I think the only time that they made a smart move announcing it before, It's going to be launched before Call of Duty, and I honestly think that the buzz it's going to generate and the amount of sales it's going to generate are really going to put a damper on Call of Duty, and the people who play Battlefield are not going to be so interested in Call of Duty, which is a good thing because, you know, in a non-fanboy way, Call of Duty is getting old, and it's really stale now. I can't, you know, aside from the fact that, yeah, the gameplay is addicting because you run around and you do the exact same thing over and over and over again, it's gotten old. You know, the fact that it's running on a modified Call of Duty 2 engine, which came out in 2005, is not a good point for it. So it looks old, it feels old. It's an arcade shooter in every sense of the word. I mean, you basically run around and then reflex shoot anything in your way. You know, I guess it's getting old. I wish something would take its place. And maybe whenever, if it doesn't succeed very well, obviously there'll be another Call of Duty next year. But it would be a nice thing to see Call of Duty have to reboot themselves the same way that Battlefield has done and that a lot of other games have done, just because it's so old and stale right now, plus it's full of really obnoxious players. Anyway, alright, so that's about all the topics I was going to talk about today. I do want to mention that, like I said, the podcast is going to be coming back. I don't have a set schedule for it. I'd like to do smaller shows at more frequent intervals. I do have several guests lined up, and a major focus is going to be to just be an interesting show to tune into. I'd love some feedback, you know, like I used to say all the time. If there's anything you want to hear talked about, let us know. Let me know in particular, and we will talk about that. So in the meantime, you may be wondering where the show has gone, what I've been doing, and that's an excellent question. Basically, in April of 2010. The show was put on indefinite hold. Not because of any particular reason, it was just that it was a bad time for it. So I was working at Alter Imaging at the time, doing social media stuff, and podcasting there. And I kind of lost the will to do more, more of my own stuff at the time, which is why most of my web stuff sort of went stale at the time. You know, I stopped caring about Twitter, I stopped caring about Facebook. You know, I didn't browse the web as much as I had before. Part of that was because, my myriad of sites that I used to go to, I sort of diluted down into, reddit.com, which is a good and bad thing. I mean, I used to browse, tech sites and, or I used to browse like Gizmodo, Lifehacker, Kotaku, GDGT, and like 8 other sites every day, plus like Dig, and, the Gawker network kind of went down, in my opinion. The, Dig went down, and that's where I found Reddit from. And Reddit's been great because I can customize everything. The only downside is that I, don't really read stuff in a format that makes sense to chat about on podcast. But, anyway, I'm going to get back to that because I have been reading more tech blogs lately. So that was one reason that we stopped doing the show for a little while. It was difficult to get all of us together to do it. It was becoming more so as John's workload was tremendously increasing as he was at Appalachian State. My perceived workload was increasing as I was finishing up college. And Mike was busy too because he's a construction management student, but that includes lots and lots of engineering as well. So that was that. In the meantime, I finished college. Technically, the diploma says December 18. I found out about January 26 that I was finally done. And that was because I had a foreign teacher who left the country the day of the exam, and her schedule on the syllabus, which the entire political science department backed me up on, sure made it look like the exam was on the 17th, not the 16th. And so I showed up to take it. I ended up taking it that day, and she just took like a month to grade it. And since then, I have been job hunting. I currently work at Best Buy as a tablet expert. And I'm very seriously looking for other jobs. Currently, I'm looking at going back to get a MBA or another degree, depending on what I need to do about GPA and other things like that. Soon, I'm looking to get an MBA in marketing with a focus on everything in marketing. I'd rather do conventional than digital when I really break it down. I've been studying digital a lot lately, internet marketing, you know, that sort of thing, just because I have done it before. I tend to, if I put out there, if people see my resume, that seems to be a positive thing that they see. And so that's a good thing. I just would prefer to do conventional print and TV and radio than online. So that all being said, it's been a fun little 20 minutes or so, and I'm going to wrap this show up. If you'll tune back in, I'm sure they'll be more interesting and more exciting when it's not just me rambling on about things. In the meantime, you can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/contrapaul. And additionally, I need to look at my link for Google Plus. That'll be a definite topic of one of the upcoming shows where I'm going to have a social media or an inbound marketing specialist from HubSpot on the show, who I used to work with. So, all right, folks, it's been a fun little bit of time, and I'll talk to you later.